We're continuing the series of shiurim on the topic of simcha. This shiur is going to be based on three chapters in Likutei Moran that are relatively short. Chapter 89, this is in the first half of Likutei Moran. Chapter 89, 90, and 169. The first one, chapter 89, Torah Peites. Rabbeinu Zal bases this on a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 8, where the pasuk says, "Vatechasrehu me'at me'elikim, v'kovoid v'hodor ta'atrehu." This pasuk is speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, about the great tzaddikim, the greatest of tzaddikim, that they are on such a high level that they are a drop lower than Elokim. The term Elokim is used sometimes to refer to Hashem. Sometimes it's used to refer to an angel. An angel is also called Elokim. And in this context, we're saying that the tzaddikim, the tzaddik is so great that he's only missing a drop from being like an angel. We know there were tzaddikim were able to make miracles. The splitting of the Red Sea, and Yehoshua, Rashi HaKodesh says over there in Tehillim, Yehoshua got the sun to stop from setting, all the great miracles that they performed. Rabbeinu Zal tells us that any time that a Jew feels any lack, anything that they're missing, whether it be beruchnius spiritually or begashmius or physically, that implies that something is lacking in the Shekhinah. The word Shekhinah, we could spend a few thousand years trying to explain and not succeed. For our level, for our discussion, the word Shekhinah is used to mean the spirit of Hashem. The term Shekhinah is used even though we know and we believe 100% that in heaven there is nothing, when we speak about Hashem, there's nothing physical whatsoever. And there's only oneness by Hashem. Hashem Echod Ushemo Echod. And yet the Torah, for our benefit, in order for us to be able to relate to Hashem and to relate to Yiddishkeit, the Torah presents Hashem in a form of male and female, Kaviyachol, as if there were a male and female, a heavenly male and female. The male is referred to as Kodesh Baruch Hu or HaKodesh Baruch Hu. The female aspect is referred to as the Shekhinah, the Spirit of Hashem. Sometimes it's referred to as female, sometimes it's referred to as Malchus, the Kingdom of Hashem, how Hashem shows himself in this physical world. Hashem's presence in this physical world is usually referred to as the Shekhinah. And sometimes the word Shekhinah is used to refer to as the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. The Arizal says that the word Shekhinah, the Hebrew word Shekhinah, when we take each letter and consider it as a word, the way we pronounce it, the letter Shin, Shin Yud Nun, Chaf, Chaf Pei, and so on and so forth, the gematria, the numerical value is 601, Tof Resh Aleph. 601 in Hebrew is the same as 600,000, Tof Resh Aleph. The Jewish nation, we know the foundation of the Jewish people is the 600,000 neshamos. The 600,000 souls of the Jewish people, these Tof Resh Aleph, comprise this Shekhinah, this Holy Spirit of Hashem that rests inside of each and every one of us, that's found in each and every one of us. The good things that we do build up the Shekhinah, and they bring the Shekhinah closer to uniting with Kodesh Baruch Hu, with its mate, Kaviyochel, its spiritual mate. The sins that we do, the bad things we do, bring about a separation, Chas Shalom. They cause Pirud. They cause the Shekhinah, this spirit of Hashem, this spirit of holiness, to leave us, number one. And number two, it causes a separation, kaviyachol, by Hashem. So now Rabbeinu Zal tells us that any time that a Jew feels or has any chisorin, anything that's lacking in them, whether they're lacking das, whether they're lacking in health, in parnosa, a wife, children, whatever it may be, any type of chisorin, it reflects on the Shekhinah. If something is lacking in me, it means something is lacking kaviyachol in Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh once said that Hashem tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow or your shade. Hashem is a shadow or a shade to a Jew. A Jew moves, Hashem moves, kaviyachol. That expression, Hashem tzilcha, just like your shadow moves with you, every move you make, it moves with you, so to kaviyachol, as if we could say, Hashem moves with us. Every move, when we're lacking, when the Jews are in Golus, we're told the Shekhinah is in Golus. Imoy Anoichi Betzorah, the Pasuk says. Hashem says, I am with him in his pain, in his suffering. A Jew is experiencing pain for any reason. They're lacking in health, parnosa, a wife, children, whatever it is. Ruchnius, lacking in the time that I need to study Torah. I don't understand the Torah as well as I want to, etc. Any kind of chisoron in me reflects some kind of a chisoron in the Shekhinah. And this is what's meant by vatechasrehu, when there is something missing in him, ma'at me elokim. It means also, ma'at means a little bit, ma'at can mean little or less. It means there's less in elokim. When there's a chisoron in a Jew, when something is lacking within a Jew, then there's something lacking kaviyachol in Hashem. Rabbi Nazal says that when a Jew realizes this, we know that there's an expression, let's first talk, when a Jew realizes this, a person says, wow, now it's even worse. It's not bad enough that I have a problem. I'm being made aware that every problem I have, there's a mirror image problem by Hashem. That not only am I suffering, Hashem is suffering also. Not only am I lacking, the Jews are not in our place, we are not in our place, we're in Golus, we're in exile. The Torah says when we're in exile, kaviyachol Hashem is in exile. The Tikkun Ezer quotes the pasuk, kitzipor noidedes min kone, like a bird that wanders away from its nest, kein ish noided mimekoimai. So too does a man wander away from his place. And the Tikkun Ezer says that that pasuk is referring to the Shekhinah kaviyachol, the female aspect. Kitzipor, nodedes is feminine, is female. Nodedes min kon kineho, I think the word is there, referring from her nest. So too it brings about a reaction, a response by Kutshebrichu, the ish, is also noided mim koimoi. So Rabbi Nazal says that when a person realizes this, that the chisoron is on two levels, that there's something lacking down here, and it reflects that there's something lacking upstairs, then the person can feel tremendous pain and sadness and depression about this. I feel terrible about this, that I know that I'm suffering and someone else is suffering also. The Shekhinah is suffering. And as a result of that kind of feeling, the pain that the person feels and the sadness that the person feels, this can block a person from serving Hashem with joy, with simcha. Therefore, Rabbi Nazar says, the person has to be able to tell himself, true, what I've just learned, I know is fact, that we are lacking in certain things, we the Jewish people, especially when we're in Golus, the Jewish nation as a whole, and each and every one of us as individuals, is lacking. We have many chisroinos, and true that this reflects that there's a chisroin lamalo also. However, let me look at this a little differently. Who am I that the king himself reveals to me and is willing to share with me to tell me his problem? He's willing to tell me what he's lacking. What greater honor is there in the world? What could make a person feel more important than knowing that the king himself shares his problems with me? He takes me into his confidence. He considers me close enough that he shares with me what he's going through, kaviyachol. And Rabbi Nazal says, and in fact, when Rabbi Nazal speaks about his hispoidetus, about a person pouring out their heart to Hashem, really pouring out their heart to Hashem and telling Hashem everything they're going through, Rabbi Nezal says you should know that when you're doing that, Kaviyochel Hashem is sitting right across you and Hashem is responding. You don't necessarily hear it, but as you're pouring out your pain and sorrow and suffering, the Shekhinah is matching you and pouring out its suffering and pain to you. And this is an incredible privilege. The neshama hears this and senses this, and this is an incredible aliyah. So Rabbi Nezal says, when a person realizes that, if a person realizes this and believes it, this can bring a person to tremendous simcha, that imagine how lucky we are. Asher bochar bonu mikol ha'amim. Hashem doesn't have this relationship with any of the other nations in the world. This is only with us. Bini b'chayri Yisrael. We're family to him. And just like when a person has a real close relative or a real close friend, and the person's going through something very difficult, and the person picks up a phone and says, I'm calling you because I really need to talk to you, and I have no one else that I can tell this to. You are the only person that I feel close enough and that I know how much you care about me and you know how much I care about you that I can share my pain and suffering with you. Imagine with Hashem, imagine a Jew who is zeicha to have this relationship with Hashem, that the Torah testifies v'techasreyu, that anything that you feel you're lacking, you should know that there's the same chisoron kaviochel within Hashem, within the Shekhinah, the presence of the Shekhinah, and that Hashem shares that with you. And by a person realizing that, this can bring a person to simcha, and this can bring a person mamish new moichin. This can open up a person's mind, give a person moichin the godless, an expansiveness of the mind to be able to make a whole new beginning in coming close to Hashem, in doing good things. And this is the continuation of the pasuk. Vatechasreyu ma'at me'elokim v'chovoid v'hodor. The kovoid, the honor, when a person realizes, wow, imagine how honored I should feel that the king himself is sharing his pain, his problem with me. That kovoid v'hodor ta'atrehu. And a Torah means a crown. That crowns the person with new moichin. When a person realizes this and believes in this, and they're conscious of this, the person receives a brand new moich, a new brain, a new understanding of Hashem, and an ability like to make a whole new beginning. So this is a very important advice that Rabbi Nezal is giving us, that if a person takes this situation, this feeling, which could pull a person down, and instead he looks for the positive aspect of it, he looks for the good message in it, not only won't it bring him down, but this can actually swing, this can be have a slingshot effect, and give him a whole new set of moichin. This is chapter 89. Chapter 90, again based on a pasuk in Tehillim. This is in Kapitel Kuf Dalet, chapter 104, Borchi Nafshi, which we say on Rosh Chodesh. Now during the winter time, during the winter months, those who daven Nusach Sfard on Shabbos at Mincha, after Mincha is over on Shabbos, we recite Borchi Nafshi and the 15 Shir HaMaloses. So at the end of that Borchi Nafshi, we have the famous, if this is the end of one sentence and the beginning of the next sentence. Anochi esmach b'Hashem. Dovid HaMelech says, I am happy with Hashem. And then the following pasuk begins with the words, Yitamu chatoim min ha'aretz. And sins will be eliminated from the world. Here Rabbi Nezal says, we know that all the things that we are lacking, all the suffering that we're going through, all the difficulties, all the struggles, all the chisroinos again, anything that we're lacking, is because of the breakage that took place when Hashem first created the world. The Shviras HaKelim, it's called. We'll go into this very lightly, very briefly. This is mentioned in several chapters in Likutei Moran. It's mentioned in Likutei Halachos. This is based on the teachings of the Arizal and the Zohar HaKadosh, that when Hashem first created the world, before Hashem created the world, all that existed was the infinite light of Hashem. Oyer Ein Sof, it's called. Ein Sof means infinite. When Hashem decided to create, it required Hashem shrinking this light and limiting it, putting it within certain boundaries to make room for creation. This is called a tzimtzum, a constriction that took place. Kavyochel Hashem had to vacate an area in a certain respect in order to make room for creation. When Hashem did this, we're told, the Torah teaches us, that Hashem subsequently put this light into certain vessels, certain kelim, a vessel called chesed, a vessel called gevura, which are called these kelim, these midos of Hashem. And because this light was infinite, these kelim, these vessels, which were less infinite, they weren't as infinite. The term keli always denotes some kind of a restriction, some kind of a boundary. Even though in this particular case, the kelim themselves were also spiritual things. We're not talking in any physical terminology whatsoever. But in a certain sense, they were lower in a certain sense than the light being put into them. They broke, they shattered. There's this term, shvira sakelim. And just like lahavdil, when you have a glass and you have liquid in it, let's say, and the glass shatters, the glass and the liquid scatter all over the place. You have broken glass and you have liquid all over the place. Lahavdil, so too here, in a sense, we're told that this caused many sparks of Kedusha. That's the terminology that's used. Nitzutzos of Kedusha, sparks of Kedusha, to be scattered to all different kinds of places. And this allowed for negative forces. Just like Lahavdil, we know wherever there's broken glass, broken keli, keep back 200 feet. You don't want to walk there, you step there, you can get your foot bloodied, etc. Shviras HaKelim implies some kind of a negative aspect to it. So here in this particular situation, it represents, we're told that there are these sparks of holiness that fell, and some of them fell into all kinds of bad places. And the mission of the Jewish people in this world, one of our main missions, is to recover those sparks of Kedusha and to restore them, to bring them back to their original place, to put it all back together in a sense. So here again, we're told this is a concept of chisorin, that from the presence of Hashem, from the essence of Hashem, some of these sparks separated, scattered, went in all different directions, and there's a concept of a kibbutz goliyos. The korev pizureinu mibein agoyim unufutzoseinu kaneis miarkas eoretz. We speak about gathering in all those things that are spread out among the nations, the ingathering of the exiles, the ingathering of the souls, the ingathering of these sparks of Kedusha. How do we do it? Rabbeinu Zal says one of the best things that a Jew could possibly do to bring this about is by being happy with Hashem. When a person thinks about Hashem, he thinks about this captain of the ship, this Baal Habira, and he's able to identify good things about Hashem, how good Hashem is, what a good world Hashem has created. He's able to find good around him. He's able to find good inside of himself. He's able to be happy with Hashem. By doing that, he's able to restore and repair all of those sparks of Kedusha and return them to their original position. This is why the pasuk says, "Anochi esmach by Hashem, I will rejoice. I'll be happy with Hashem. I'll be happy with my faith in Hashem, with my Shabbos, with my shul, with my wife and children, with all the different things that I attribute to Hashem, where I give the credit for this, it's all Hashem's. My health, my eyes, my ears, the billions of things that a person has to be able to find and identify and can associate with Hashem and be able to see, to be happy about. Through that, yitamu chatoim min ha'oretz. The word oretz, which means earth, we know that when in the first pasuk in the Torah, Bereishis bor Elokim es hashamayim v'soretz, in the beginning Hashem created heaven and earth. So shamayim and oretz are used to refer to upstairs and downstairs. Heaven, earth. In the terminology that we used before, when we spoke about Hashem and the Shekhinah, Hashem is referred to as shamayim. Eretz is one of the nicknames of the Shekhinah, this spirit of Hashem, this presence of Hashem down below on earth. The word chatoim means sins. The word chatoim also means to be lacking, to be absent. There's a pasuk where when Bathsheba, the wife of the mother of Shlomo HaMelech, when she heard what was going on, that Adoniyahu, one of the sons of Dovra HaMelech, was staging a coup, was trying to take over the kingdom even while his father, Dovra HaMelech, was alive. He was trying to set things into motion that when Dovra HaMelech would pass away, he would take over as king. Even though he knew that Dovra HaMelech wanted his son Shlomo HaMelech to take over after him. So the Navi tells us the whole story whereby Nosson HaNavi, the prophet Nosson, contacted Shlomo HaMelech's mother, Bathsheba, and he made a plan that you're going to go in to speak to Dovra HaMelech about this, and I'll come in and follow through, and will enlighten Dovra HaMelech about what's going on. So when Bathsheba spoke, she said that based on what's going on here, if Adoniyahu takes over, V'hoyisi ani ubeni Shlomo chatoim min ha'oretz, I and my son Shlomo will be off the map. We'll be missing from the world. We're not in his program. We're not in Adonio's program at all. So we see the word chatoim means chesronos. The word chet means a chisorin, because that's what it is. When a person commits a sin, he causes something to be lacking. He subtracts something from the Shekhinah, from the heavenly light. So Rabbeinu Zal tells us here, Anochi esmach b'Hashem. Every time that a Jew makes an effort to be happy, to find what to be happy about regarding Hashem, yitamu chatoim, this removes chesroinois, that which is lacking from the Shekhinah, those sparks of Kedusha that scattered all over the place and that were lacking from the Shekhinah, from the Oretz, those chesroinois, those sparks of Kedusha that are chaser min ha'aretz, chaser from the Shekhinah, yitamu, they come to an end. They get put back together. This is the glue. This is the scotch tape. This is the magic. This ingredient of simcha, if a Jew is zeuche to fight this uphill battle, Rav Nosson Zal writes in one place in the Kutei Halachos that this is the most difficult thing in Yiddishkeit, to be happy. So if a person knows that, why is it so difficult? Because the Yetzer Hara knows, the evil inclination knows how much this can accomplish, that the tikkun depends on this. We have a pasuk, ki besimcha teitzeyun. With happiness, you will exit. Exit from what? Exit from anything you want to exit from. Get out of any problem, any suffering, any exile. The Yetzer Hara knows that, and therefore he uses all of his shrewdness and guile and everything to try to give a person a billion reasons not to be happy. But based on the advice we're being given here, we're being told what this accomplishes. We know to apply ourselves to this, to focus on it. And we know the Gemara says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo Betrunyam B'Yosef. Hashem does not want a Jew to fail. Hashem wants us to succeed. He doesn't give a person a test that they can't handle. If he's given me these circumstances, then I definitely have the ability, I have the ability in my situation to fulfill this, Anochi esmach b'Hashem, to be able to find what to be happy about and to focus on that and to hold on tight. Anytime I find something, to hold on tight when the Yetzirah tries to shake me off it, no, I'm not letting go. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold on to every day. I'm going to find new things to focus on, to keep myself in a happy frame of mind, because I know that this is the tikkun for the Shekhinah. This is the tikkun for the kingdom of Hashem, the spirit of Hashem itself. Now we go into the third chapter that we mentioned, Kuf Samach Tes, chapter 169. This is based on a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Ekev in Chumash Dvarim. The pasuk begins, V'hoyo Ekev Tishmeun Eis HaMishpotim Ho'ela. When it'll come about that you will listen to my judgment, to my instructions, Hashem says, U'shemartem V'asisem Oysam, and you will fulfill my mishpatim, my definition of justice. And the pasuk goes on to say afterwards, Vishomar Hashem lecho es habris, then Hashem will guard the covenant for you. This is the wording in the pasuk. In this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal dissects this pasuk and gives us again tremendous advice and clarity on this topic of simcha. Whenever a Jew is going through any kind of suffering or any kind of problem, whether it's global, whether it's the entire Jewish people, whether it's a whole city, a whole neighborhood, a whole country, or whether it's an individual person, it's impossible to dance. Why? Dancing, we know that one of the most outward expressions of joy is when a person is so happy. We know there's different levels. There's a level where you're happy and you start singing. Then there's a level of happiness when you start clapping. Besides singing, they're clapping. And then when they really want to break loose, suddenly they're getting up on the chairs or getting up out of their chairs and they're dancing. That's when the simcha has peaked, in a sense, when it's from head to toe. Because we know simcha is a frame of mind. It's something that starts off in the moyach, in the roish. The word besimcha is the letters machshava. That a lot of it is in the mind. It's a frame of mind. It's not something that money, more money, less money, more this can necessarily control. We know that it says, mar ben achosim, mar bedaiga. The Torah says that it's possible for a person to have more worldly possessions and less simcha, less happiness. So that doesn't necessarily make it happen, but with machshava, a person's own brain, a person who has the proper attitude, a person who's studying the Torah and the Torah the Tzaddik, it teaches a person to think happy. And then when a person is zoche to expand that, and the simcha is in the heart, nosata simcha belibi, and then it goes to the hands, there's that clapping, and then it goes to the furthest, all the way down, it reaches down to the feet, the person's dancing, that's a certain shleimus of simcha. But when a person's going through suffering, can't dance. Why? Rabbeinu Zal says, on a Kabbalistic level, the Zohar HaKadosh, when it speaks about Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, the days of judgment, when Klal Yisrael is judged, the Zohar HaKadosh says that once all the judgment is over, once the court comes to its conclusions, Kaviyochel Hashem gives over the judgments to the Shluchim, to His messengers, to the angels that are responsible to carry out those judgments. And those angels are referred to as Rotzim, they're runners. That's what they're known as. We know in the physical world, you have runners who are sent to go on certain missions. Kaviyochel Hashem has these rotzim, these angels. Rotzim, runners, we know running is done with the feet. These angels who represent the Midas Hadin, where their job is to carry out, to execute the order of the court, they're referred to as runners. And this is why, when a Jew finds himself in a state of Midas Hadin, he's going through any kind of difficulty or struggle, he feels a heaviness in the feet. Can't dance, can't run, can't jump for joy. There's that heaviness holding him down, which is that Midas Hadin. the blood, the redness in the body, we know that the blood circulates throughout the whole body, but sometimes the blood concentrates in a certain area and a person feels a heaviness in that area, chas v'shalom. One example here is this blood going down to the feet, in a sense, and giving the person a heaviness. Rabbi Nazal says an example, one of the cases where we see this is when a woman becomes pregnant. We know that when a woman is pregnant, that's the term ibur, to be pregnant, comes from the word evra. Evra means anger, midas hadin. When a person is pregnant, there's a gathering of blood. When she gives birth, when there's a leda, when there's a birth, there's a tremendous flow of blood where the blood comes out, the blood leaves the person. So that this state of pregnancy, the ibur, is a time of midas hadin. It's a time when the woman is in danger to a degree. She has to be extra careful. The baby's in danger. The birth is a celebration, in a sense, where the child has come out. There's been this hoylada, and the blood has been released. The blood comes up from the feet when the woman gives birth. We know there are many women that experience swelling of the legs at that time or a heaviness in the feet. And with the birth, that heaviness leaves. Rabbi Nazal says, so too, when there is hamtoka sadinim, when a Jew is in a state of a midah sadin, he has any kind of judgment of Hashem that's weighing on him. And that judgment is manifesting itself in whatever way it does, chas v'shalom. Any kind of physical problem, spiritual problem, the person feels that heaviness. When the din is nimtak, when it's removed, then the person is light-footed, they can dance, they can jump for joy. How do we do this? How does a person who has this midas hadin, a person who knows that it's very possible that I've done things to warrant having judgments against me? We know that we look in the Shulchan Aruch, the code of law, almost every line, chayev. A Jew is obligated to do the, obligated to do this, obligated to the. I have all of these obligations. If a person doesn't fulfill their obligations, chas v'shalom, they're in the red. They're in this state of chiyuv, rachmona litzlan. How does a person get out of that, be mamtik that din? The Gemara says, kishayesh din lemato, ein din lemala. If a Jew says, I'm not going to wait for any heavenly court to judge me, I'm going to judge myself. I'm going to analyze myself. I'm going to look myself over every single day and review what I did, what I didn't do, what I'm doing, whether it's Bein Odom Lamokim, whether it's between me and Hashem and my obligations with Hashem. How did I get up this morning? Did I get up like a Jew or did I get up like an animal? The Shulchan Aruch says, Yizgaber Koari Lamoi Baboiker. A Jew is supposed to get up like a lion, like a deer, to move quickly. The alarm clock goes off, bang, instantaneous. The computer is on, everything is set into place. Moidani Lefonecha, right away, connecting myself to Hashem, the Negelvasser, and hit the floor running. He's on the move already because he knows he doesn't want to be in shul, he wants to be the first one in shul, or he wants to be one of the first 10, and he wants to put on his tefillin way before the chazan begins, he wants to be able to say his korban, all the different steps, whether it's waking up the morning, whether it's how I greet my wife and children, each and every single aspect of my life, a person does a cheshbon hanefesh on himself, and he apologizes to Hashem, and he apologizes to the people he needs to apologize. He expresses that I know that I'm not acting the way I should be. I want to be better. I'm letting you know. A person who does that din lemata, the Gemara says, ein din lemala. Because when the prosecution comes before Hashem and says, okay, we have the tick of this and this person, of Chaim Rosenberg, we have his tick, we want to read now. Hashem says, what do you mean? I heard that already. Mal says, what are you talking about here? I wasn't here yet today. Hashem says, I know you weren't here, but he himself was here. Here, I'll show you the whole tick. He told me he did this wrong, he did that. And that silences the prosecution. This is the wording in the Gemara. This is one of the incredible benefits in this part of his Hispoiridus. When Rabbi Nazal taught his students about this most important avodah of the day, of a Jew reserving private time one-on-one with Hashem, a major piece of that time is this introspection, looking inside of myself, reviewing what I did, what I'm doing, what I'm gonna do, and feeling sincere regret and remorse for the mistakes, and accepting upon myself that I'm gonna try to make a new beginning. I'm not the same person as I was a minute ago, an hour ago. Hashem, everything is new. Hashem creates world. I'm new also. I'm gonna try to be different, to be better. And when a person does this, this removes the din, this removes the heaviness from the feet, this leads to simcha. Rabbi Elazar said, when a Jew has a proper hispoidedus, during the hispoidedus, he might be experiencing a brokenheartedness. He might be crying. He might feel terrible. But if he does it properly, if it includes this important ingredient, this cheshbon ha-nefesh, and he expresses sincere regret for what he did wrong, and he accepts upon himself to be different, he'll see that the pendulum will swing, and he'll come out of that hispoidus with a feeling of joy, happiness, relief. He'll see that it's not the same world that it was before he started his hispoidus. Rabbi Elazar said that when he would come back from his hispoidus, he would look, and mamash, he saw the world completely new. It was a different world. Once I got to do this cheshbon ha-nefesh, and I got to really connect with Hashem the way I'm supposed to, I'm not the same person, and it's not the same world out there. And this manifests itself in this simcha. Rabbi Elazar says, this is what's meant by this pasuk. We know the Gemara says, we have the word vayihi. The Gemara says, wherever it says vayihi, it implies a problem, suffering, tzara. Vayihi bimei achashveirosh, vayihi is vayihi. It is woe. Whenever it says vahoyo, vahoyo implies joy, simcha. So this pasuk begins with vahoyo, that when a Jew who wants to be zoichet to simcha, to real happiness, in what way? He wants this happiness to reach all the way down to his feet, to his legs. He wants to be able to not to have that heaviness in his legs, that midas hadin, that blood that goes down to the legs, the rutzim, those runners who Hashem is sending to carry out the din. He wants to get rid of that. He wants v'hoyo ekev tishmon. He wants the simcha, the joy, to be heard in his ekev, in the heel of his foot. He wants his feet to experience that simcha. How do you get to that? Es hamishpotim ho'ele u'shmartem v'asisem oisam. These mishpotim, these judgments of Hashem, this judgment of Hashem, don't wait for him to do it. U'shmartem v'asisem oisam. You do it yourself. Be your own judge. Judge yourself on a daily basis. Allow yourself this luxury, this incredible luxury of having a few minutes a day that you do an audit on yourself. Don't wait to be audited. Audit yourself and express it verbally. Talk to Hashem. Talk to yourself, saying, what am I doing? Is this what I want? Is this who I want to be? Is this what I want to do? Do I want to just continue this way? And a person doing this, he'll be zoche to the vahoya, to the shleimus ha-simcha, that the happiness will go from top to bottom. It'll be heard in the akev, in the heels of the feet, and the person will be able to dance with joy. Rabbi Elazar adds one item to this now. The next pasuk we've said begins, V'shomar Hashem lecho es habris, and Hashem will guard for you the covenant. We know that the most difficult test that a Jew experiences in this world, the main thing that the Yetzer Hara is trying to get a person to fall in, is pigam habris, sins in the area with the relationship between men and women. It's brought that the word bris, beis resh yutuf, equals 612. With the kolel, it's 613. That this item is kolel the entire Torah. Rabbi Elazar writes that a Jew who is able to succeed in this area, in overcoming this wrong type of desire, the desire for the wrong things, will find that all the other desires will be very easy to overcome. This is the main one. This is the most difficult one. This is the one that the Yetzirah focuses on the most. Rabbeinu Zal says that through this, v'hoyo ekef tishmon, a Jew who will follow the advice that we just mentioned in this pasuk, a Jew who will judge himself and thereby come to simcha, a level of simcha where the simcha will go from head to toe, Hashem says, I will guard your bris for you. I will help you to be able to be pure in this area. Because Rabbeinu Zal says, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the thing that the characteristic that makes a person most vulnerable and susceptible to pigama bris, to sins in this area, is atzvus, unhappiness. Unhappiness, sadness, depression. The angel that's appointed over this item is called Lil, Lamed Yud, Lamed Yud Tuf. We don't mention the whole name, coming from the word Yolola. Yolola means sadness and depression. If a Jew is zeicha to follow the advice that Rabbeinu Zal mentioned here about judging himself and thereby coming to simcha, Hashem says one of your rewards is I'll be your shomer. I will guard you and protect you in the area of bris to be zeicha to tikkun habris. Imagine if a person has Hashem saying this for them, it's certainly worth putting every effort we can into trying to fulfill this mitzvah of ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, serving Hashem with the proper simcha, and through the simcha, through the tikkun habris, by repairing all of these nitzutzos, all of these sparks of the Shekhinah that got separated, by correcting our own chisroinos, and thereby helping the Shekhinah, any chisorin of the Shekhinah to be filled, we're sure that this will lead to the tikkun of the whole world, the tikkun of Klal Yisrael, with the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu.